this show and give me your 2 cents worth. Thank you all for giving me a part of your day. Have a great weekend. I know I'm a day early, but I won't be back until Monday, and I will talk to you then. Remember, tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend, and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Can the National Guard guard us in the event of a mass destruction terrorist attack? A new study says maybe not as well as we'd like.
More than 350 pages, almost 100 recommendations for change in this report from a commission chaired by Arnold Punaro, who says it's appalling how the National Guard and the reserves are not prepared
to deal with the new threats that pose a catastrophic situation with weapons of mass destruction.
The commission calls for more training and money to get ready to use troops in the U.S.
There's been a reluctance, both in the Department of Homeland Security and in the Department of Defense, to make the homeland mission have equal priority to our overseas mission.
The military command in charge of U.S. territory says it could act now if terrorists attack, but admits there is more to be done. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
There is a success today overseas in the fight against terror. One of Al-Qaeda's biggies is dead, killed by a bomb tossed by a Predator drone. Terrorism expert Neil Livingstone.
This suggests the hunt is still on, that the United States is still seeking these people, that we're not going to let them rest until they're killed or captured.
Abu Layth al-Libi was said to be among the top handful of al-Qaeda leaders, perhaps number three. An amazing story is unfolding on the high seas. A ferry boat is stranded in the Irish Sea. High winds, giant waves. The ferry's listing at 45 degrees. Winds are 70 miles an hour. Mark Clark of Britain's Coast Guard Agency says several helicopters are working to rescue those people.
That deck is effectively like a lift going up and down and going from side to side. So trying to land somebody accurately onto that bridge is going to be a very, very difficult situation.
And yet they do it. The four passengers have been winched from the ship to safety. Crew, all 19, are staying with the ship in hopes of starting the engines and just maybe saving her. A drifter admits he's a killer in Dawsonville, Georgia. Gary Michael Hilton pleaded guilty to murdering Meredith Emerson in the North Georgia mountains. Initial intention was to abduct her and steal her ATM money, he said, but beat her to death with a jackhandle instead. He was promptly sentenced to life without parole. Politics. John McCain gets California Governor Schwarzenegger's endorsement. Mitt Romney campaigns in Long Beach.
We're different, Senator McCain and I, and I respect his service. I also think that when the economy is in trouble, it's helpful to have a person as president who's actually had a job in the real economy.
Democrats debate tonight, the first head-to-head meeting of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. UCLA Medical Center can hold on to Britney Spears for 72 hours to have her head examined after the 5150 was filed. That's the legal order that gives a judge the option of making sure Britney gets some psychiatric help. Spears agreed to go. Her lawyers worked out the transport to the hospital, a police caravan, even LAPD helicopters overhead, the paparazzi at a distance. On Wall Street, the Dow soared 207 points today. The Nasdaq gained nearly 41. Oil prices, $91.75 a barrel, down 58 cents. This is CBS News.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do, like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates, and in most cases, other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates may fail Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
The Senate could take a vote on its version of economic stimulus next week.
President Bush and House leaders want the Senate to just follow their lead and take the bill to send checks to about 117 million Americans. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
The House acted very quickly Now it's our turn.
But Arkansas's Democratic Senator Blanche Lincoln says the Senate version is much better, sending checks to Social Security recipients, higher-income families, and vets on disability.
It's good for seniors, it's good for disabled veterans, and it is good for our economy.
The fight has slowed things down, with Senate votes now delayed until next week at the earliest. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A 49-year-old man in Sandusky, Ohio, who's worked as a nurse in 13 hospitals and nursing homes, has told police he has sexually and physically abused roughly 100 patients over the years. But John Reams says he remembers the details of only about two dozen of them. Most of his victims, we're told, were unable physically or mentally to tell anyone what he was doing. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea.
Right now, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers offer the Works Fuel Saver Package. That's a Motorcraft Premium Synthetic Blend Oil Change, Tire Rotation, Multi-Point Inspection, Fluid Top-Off, and much more. All for one low price.
Well, my car's running great, and my dealer got me in and out.
Oh, I'm happy for you. You're in and out, and I'm stuck to your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going. See your local participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer for special service offers today. See participating dealership for vehicle applications and details through 31608. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We got quite a lineup for you today. Coming up a little bit later this hour, a profile of the governor, who was busy sucking up to Rudy Giuliani and endorsing John McCain today after he got a couple of cameos at the Reagan Library Republican debate on television Wednesday night. Dan Weintraub of the Sacramento Bee has a new book out about Schwarzenegger called Party of One. He'll be with us in about half an hour. And next hour, we're going to have two Steves who have been or are constitutional officers in the state of California. Steve Wesley was most recently the state controller. He ran for governor and lost in the Democratic primary to Phil Angelides. He is a supporter of the modification of term limits, the ballot measure that we will face next Tuesday, called Proposition 93. And Steve Poizner, who is the current insurance commissioner in California, opposes Prop 93. Over the course of the hour, we'll hear both sides. Yeah, yeah. And lots of your phone calls in the free speech zone today. I know you'll want to comment on John Edwards' withdrawal. And, of course, there is a two-person Democratic debate in Los Angeles tonight. At least I think it's still on. So it's going to be very interesting. If you'd like to call in, you can do it at any time between now and the end of the program. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Faz Shakir joins us as usual today. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., and he also is co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. Faz, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How you doing?
Doing all right. I picked up a cold while I was at that healthcare conference in Washington last week. But, you know, other people contend with far worse things, so I will not whine about it. I'm just sorry that I'm almost out of antihistamines, and I ran out of Kleenex yesterday.
Well, I'm glad that you're brave in the conditions and still on the air.
Well, thanks. Hey, I got a couple of quick questions before we dive into some of the issues in the progress report today. Is the Democratic debate that CNN is holding still scheduled in Los Angeles tonight? Because there is, of course, a meltdown there. Brittany went into the hospital.
I thought you had some breaking news, and I was like, oh, no, what happened? I think it's still scheduled, but...
won't CNN have to break in for a special report on Britney's condition?
Well, more importantly, are they going to ask a question to all the candidates about her condition? I mean, don't we want all the presidential candidates weighing in on this vital national security issue?
And was she wearing knickers when they took her to the hospital? I mean, these are things America needs to know, and Hillary and Barack will not tell us.
That's right.
All right, the other is in your realm as a research guy and a fact checker. I watched with interest the Republicans debate in the Simi Valley at the Reagan Library last night, and I lost count. I was trying to tally the number of times Ronald Reagan's name was invoked, and when it got over 250, I just gave up. But the one thing that really put the brakes on for me was when Mitt Romney said that he's going to keep U.S. troops in Iraq until Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah are completely gone. Now, I'm just checking here, Faz, but is there any information that Hezbollah has set up shop in Iraq and we don't know about it?
Well, I haven't heard that information. I think it'd be news to the Iraqi government if that were true.
Mm-hmm.
My concern there would be, it sounds like, it would be there even longer than McCain's 100 years if Romney were president, right? I don't foresee us leaving ever if that's true.
Right, yeah.
There's never been any allegation that Hezbollah has been involved in Iraq or has been a part of any activity there. I'm sure
Anderson Cooper! Anderson Cooper was asleep. He said it was a freewheeling debate with no format, no rules, and no other candidate corrected him. And even Bill Bennett was there. He took a night off gambling to attend this historic event. But I didn't hear anybody, either during the debate or the post-game spin, correct Mitt Romney on that issue.
Yeah. No, speaking of multiple choice, Matt, another issue that's relevant to you and California is he took the stance during the debate that he would have been in favor of California's tailpipe emission standard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was we all thought, hey, a bold stand. We're thankful for it. All in fact, all four GOP candidates took that stand. They were for quote states' rights.
Yeah.
And then after the debate, Mitt Romney puts out a statement saying, actually, no, he was for the federal standard on that one. He was with Bush.
Oh,
so
really?
He actually flip-flopped in the matter of an hour.
So in the honored tradition of Ronald Reagan, the candidate misspoke and his handlers had to correct it after
That's
the
right.
fact.
That's right. He had to huddle with his advisors, and after the debate, he put out a press release saying that actually he said that the federal government, not the state, should set the limits on carbon emissions. That's what his statement says right here.
The question was improperly framed, too, because the lawsuit originated with former Attorney General Bill Lockyer, a Democrat. It's been sustained by Jerry Brown, a Democrat. And, you know, Schwarzenegger supports it, but he didn't file the suit. And McCain had the cutest response where he said, well, you know, I don't want to risk personal harm. And then they cut away to a picture of Schwarzenegger. But the
right.
truth is that issue originated with California's attorney general and not with the governor.
That's right. That's right. And you know, of course, for the next president, this will hopefully be an issue where they do allow California to move ahead with its bold plan to curb carbon dioxide emissions, which all states should be doing. And it sounds like Mitt Romney wanted you to believe one thing, and then, of course, he's not going to be the president who's going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that was not remarkable but just boring about that debate is that the moderators let Romney and McCain go on and on, back and forth, sniping at each other about whether Mitt actually supported the surge at the time that Bush announced it. And properly, Mike Huckabee at some point said, I'm running too, and, you know, kind of pulled a Dennis Kucinich and had to insert himself into the conversation. But he did.
You know who I liked the most, though, in that one was Ron Paul when he said, you know, these people are quibbling over semantics. They both agree with the surge. They both want to keep it going. They're for extending our occupation in Iraq. Let's talk about the fundamental issue here about whether it was right to go in or not, whether it's right to stay, what kind of foreign policy we should have. I thought that was right. I mean, you know, fundamentally at this point in time, Romney and McCain are the same, even though they may have been slightly different. And, you know, we know Mitt Romney's record of flip-flopping and
mm-hmm.
waffling on this, and he certainly did that to some degree.
Yeah.
But you know, they're now in the same place. So
well, since you mentioned Ron Paul, Dave just got on the line, wants to talk about Ron. So Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, by gosh, you guys just touched on what I wanted to say, that he was allowed so little time, and he fully opposes the war, and they just don't want to hear that.
It's true, and at one point Anderson Cooper promised him that he was going to come back to him and let him answer one of the questions that McCain and Romney had chewed over, and he didn't.
There was one moment I liked where Romney started to rail against the Democrats, saying, oh, if we listened to them, we'd be leaving Iraq, we'd be cutting and running, and I wanted to just, you know, scream at the television and say, hey, that guy right there on the stage next to you wants to do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But Dave, overall, I mean, I agree that Ron Paul is valuable in the Republican debate to the extent they let him speak because he's against the war. But, you know, as soon as he goes off on one of his rants about the monetary standards and you know, he goes into some of his libertarian boilerplate stuff. He loses me. I don't know about you.
Oh, yes, he loses me, too. He'd be bad news. The only thing about him, though, is that he does oppose Bush's war.
Right.
He's the biggest fundraiser. He gets the biggest applause when he does say he's against the war. And I think he gets the most votes, and I have no faith whatsoever anymore that how we vote has anything to do with how these elections come out.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. And it is just another ding on CNN for the way that they conduct these events, because they made it seem, they said this is, you know, open forum, but they continued to focus on Romney and McCain to the exclusion of Huckabee and Paul, and that's a disservice to the American people. I think they should be heard, you know, roughly in a proportional way.
And it's not truly a debate. I mean, CNN was really prompting this little squabbles here and there over, you know, the Iraq issue. And if it were actually a true debate, I think you would let the candidates take it where they want it to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, okay, well, let's find out the differences between you. Because I think actually Huckabee and Paul and McCain and Romney would have wanted to debate different issues than CNN was forcing down their throats and making them have to answer to. So I think it would have been more interesting if you let them kind of fight it out, and you'll probably see more authentic differences between the candidates instead of allowing journalists to be the ones inserting themselves in this.
Yeah. Faz, just about a minute before we go to our break, there's a lot of heartbreak here in California because, of course, as you well know, our primary is next Tuesday, and I heard from people yesterday who had just made contributions to the John Edwards for President campaign and many more who have already voted absentee or by mail for the candidate. And we understand the reality and that eventually he was probably going to have to make this decision. But why now? I still don't have an explanation.
I can't really tell you. I mean, it doesn't make a ton of sense that he would go all this way and then drop out just shortly before the February 5th primary. But I can't get inside of his head. All I could say is I thought he was going to go through, and it's unfortunate he's not. I think he probably realized he wasn't going to win any of the states, so he probably didn't see a point to continuing. However, it would have been interesting had he stayed in, and we would have seen the dynamic. Well, I guess the big question now is who benefits.
Right. And any whiff of a deal with Obama or Clinton?
Well, that's what we all want to speculate about, right? Like, that would have been certainly one of the reasons why he dropped out, because he had a deal. But no, there's been no reports. There was a report like a week ago that he was negotiating with Barack Obama. This came from Bob Novak, of all sources, that he was talking about an attorney general slot with the Obama team. But I don't think that there was any merit to that.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break and return with Faz Shakir, and we'll talk about a number of issues that are focused in the progress report over the last couple of days. You can get your own copy delivered free in your email every day at progressreport.org. 18 minutes after the hour, my toll-free number works for you, 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions.
Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it?
Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
This is a poem, a love poem, for my son, Nicolino. I bring you a poem. My love, when you ask me, what have you brought me? This is what I will do. I will take out of the suitcase of myself, mumbling, let's see here, and oh yes. Out of my ears, the sound of an engine circling the clouds above a city, a sound like thunder or a waterfall, or cars driving over a metal bridge, or bees humming, or drummers drumming. You listen with me, and we widen our eyes at its power. From my eyes, the clouds pulled over the earth like a blanket, and the white-covered mountains, the pillows the elephant sleeps on, the old elephant earth with his wrinkly gray, dusty skin. We see his bulges beneath the cloud blanket, and we sing to him because he likes that when he goes to sleep. From my nose, the smell of eucalyptus buttons and jasmine flowers. This is like Pasadena, you say. Yes, it is. But what is so heavy in there still, Mommy? Ah, this. It is my heart. I give it to you. I carried it everywhere for you, where it beat with gladness at the thought of your smile. Here. Now it is light. It is yours to have.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking in the free world while it lasts.
Colors on the street, red, white, and blue.
We continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And Cy joins us from Arnoldsburg, also known as Sacramento. Hello, Cy.
Oh, hi. I was just on your show. My wife and I live part-time in Sacramento. I admire your general erudition.
Why, thank you.
Going on, you just mentioned about Edwards canceling his candidacy in midstream, as it were, and I thought about that. Yesterday I mailed in my absentee ballot for him, and then found out that he had dropped from the race. And then there are even people who contributed, just as you just mentioned recently, a moment ago. And it seems to me that he made a promise. He made a statement, a representation, that he would stay in the race. And people relied on that representation, and now he's betrayed the people who relied on it. So I ask, how can he be trustworthy after that? Now, I understand there's a serious illness issue there, and If it's the illness issue, then I can understand that, and I can certainly forgive under those circumstances.
Yeah.
But if there's some other issue, I would like to know what your comments are about the trustworthiness of someone who has basically undermined his own support.
Well, Faz, I'll give a response, and you can, too. I think we've all become accustomed to understanding that certain political promises are, well, they have a short shelf life. And while Edwards had said he was going to stay in all the way to the convention, pragmatism and reality take over at a certain point. Now, again, I think that point would have been better next Wednesday than this past Wednesday. That said, I'm not really shocked, but I do understand Cy's disappointment. Faz?
I think he could have done a better job foretelling what his plans were. As you said, he told everybody he was going to be in it through the convention. It had been a line that he was repeating. He had been very forceful in stating that. I think if he were going to back down from that, I wish he hadn't done it so suddenly. I think he could have said, hey, you know, I'm reevaluating my plans, give a week or so to let people know that he was in this process where he was, you know, reconsidering, and then drop out. But to do so suddenly, I think, cost people like this gentleman who called, who may have voted for him, or others who voted for him or contributed to him. I think that they do feel like they were manipulated.
Well, let's talk about a politician who always keeps his word. You know, George W. Bush, the State of the Union message. Somehow in a 53-minute address, he forgot to mention the $70 billion additional funding that he's demanding for Iraq. And then he lectured the members of Congress over earmarks and their failure to, you know, follow the rules and make sure that those appropriations are, you know, acted on in committee and actually voted on and not just inserted at the last minute in some, you know, nefarious manner. And then he turned around and issued a series of signing statements that negate four key provisions of the latest defense authorization bill.
You know, it hasn't gotten a lot of attention, so I mean, a lot of your listeners might not even know what we're talking about, but he issued a signing statement relating to the National Defense Authorization Act, which he just passed. Remember, they had a lot of issues with that going back and forth over the break. He vetoed it because he felt that the Iraqi government didn't like it, so he issued a pocket veto. Now he's finally signed it, but he issued the signing statement that said that he was going to waive certain provisions of the law that passed because he's the king, apparently, and he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to waive amongst the four provisions one provision that said that there would be no permanent bases in Iraq. And he said, President Bush did, that he's going to waive that because it stamps on his role as his constitutional powers and his role as commander-in-chief. So, you know, this is just the latest act of a king who believes that he's got the powers to issue these imperial decrees and that everybody should just go along with him and that Congress's laws don't matter.
I would use the cowardly lion label because here he had a chance. He pocket vetoed that bill and he said,
right,
well, fix this part, you know, that the Iraqi government opposes about immunity. And they did that. And at the same time, he could have said, and I want you to take out the permanent bases and these other three issues. And, of course, if he were honorable and straightforward, that's the manner. He, of course, could have raised these issues in December before the bill was passed for the first time. But this is the backdoor method that David Addington, who is now chief of staff to Dick Cheney, has advocated all through this administration.
Well, that's a very good point. I think had he raised that as an issue for Congress to reconsider, we know what would have happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there would have been a big fight, a political fight, about whether we were going to have permanent bases in Iraq. And that happens to be an issue that President Bush would not be very popular with the American people. And so I don't think that they wanted to have that fight, even though that's what they honestly believe. And that's why they've been telling people that, oh, no, we're not for permanent bases in Iraq, because they know that the people don't want that, not only ours, not only the American public, but the Iraqi public doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of, as you suggest, instead of honestly putting forward their disagreements, they hide it and they couch it in the signing statement and continue on with the policy that's reckless.
Yeah, that's democracy, isn't it?
Bush style, indeed.
Yeah, and we don't have time for it, but read the progress report for the torture that was applied to the Attorney General yesterday by members of the Judiciary Committee, but he wouldn't cough up the admission that waterboarding is torture and therefore illegal. Faz, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. We're going to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File is sponsored in part by the makers of naturally derived Amil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. I'm Charles Osgood. New ID rules go into effect today across the U.S. borders with Mexico and Canada. People will no longer be able to cross the border simply by stating their nationality or showing a driver's license. It will take a passport or birth certificate, too. At some crossings, they're allowing a grace period of a day or two before turning people away. Michael Chertoff, Secretary of Homeland Security, says it's time to grow up and recognize that if we're serious about this threat, we've got to take reasonably measured but nevertheless determined steps to get better security. Congressman Tom Reynolds, a Republican whose district is in the Buffalo area, says Chertoff frankly has as much credibility on telling people to grow up as Jeffrey the Giraffe.
If you look at last year's passport fiasco, it's obvious that there are times where they initiate action, but then they can't deliver on providing the government to do its job.
More after this for Amil BP. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But let me tell you about this wonderful new product, Amil BP, A-M-E-A-L-B-P. It makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Amil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Amil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Amil BP. Available at Walgreens and CVS or visit AmilBP.com to find other fine retailers near you.
Oh, Billy's home with a bad mucus.
I feel a mucus coming on myself.
I heard there was a mucus going around.
Robitussin knows you don't catch a mucus. You catch a cold, which can come with coughing and other symptoms like congestion, a stuffy nose, or a scratchy throat. So why do some medicines act like mucus is your only symptom? Robitussin has customized formulas to relieve whatever comes with your cold, even mucus.
Gesundheit.
Robitussin has formulas to relieve all your cough and cold symptoms, even mucus. Use as directed.
Congressman Tom Reynolds and some other border state representatives are unhappy about the new border crossing rules.
In Western New York, we have had a great relationship with our friends in Canada, and we haven't had a problem since the War of 1812 in getting back and forth on our two countries.
What he's looking for is some simple, easily obtained ID.
Not a $100 passport to every person coming, not a mechanism where people can't get the appropriate, adequate identification in order to meet the federal government standards.
Congressman Tom Allen, a Maine Democrat, agrees.
There are lots of people, they may have a photo ID, but they don't have a birth certificate or a passport, and they go back and forth, some of them every day. So this is going to be a significant hardship on people on both sides of the border.
He says some live on one side and work on the other.
There are nurses who do that. There certainly are loggers in the Maine woods who come down. $1.5 billion a day in trade with Canada. I just think this is going to be a problem.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
The girly man can, cause he mixes up priorities and makes my world a pain in the lower torso. The girly man blows all that I propose, using words so damn bombastic. Girly man is not gymnastic. Look at me, I'm fantastic. I'll take it to the people.
Take it to the people.
To get this budget passed.
To get this budget passed.
While who had better clean up his act up fast? The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man.
Hey, girly man, put down that cell phone and pick up some weights. You're a little flabby girly man. Why don't you shape up and get with the program? Hey, girly man. Hasta la vista, baby.
There's a new book out about California's governor. It's called Party of One, Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Rise of the Independent Voter. Its author is the political columnist at the Sacramento Bee and a blogger, too, Daniel Weintraub. Dan, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing today?
I'm doing quite well.
Yeah? And how long's the book been out? How's it doing?
It's just been out, actually, just a couple of days. We haven't even had our official launch party yet. We're doing that next week in Sacramento. So, too early to tell. I think I briefly broke through the top 25,000 books on Amazon.com the other day.
Uh-huh.
I think that means like 9 have been purchased so far.
And did you have a table selling them at the Reagan Library at the big debate last night?
I did not.
No. Oh, what an oversight. Where are your marketing people?
We're spread thin. I've been all over the state, but I was not down there last night.
All right. Let me lift a quote here to start our conversation. If Schwarzenegger hadn't jumped into politics when he did, someone might have had to invent him. He is the ideal politician for this independent, internet-driven age, for an electorate with little patience for policy details or petty partisanship, but a thirst for problem-solving, results-oriented politics. His visions are sweeping. His projects are huge. His ideology hopscotches across the political battlefield, plucking positions from right, left, and center, sometimes melding all three. He wants results, though he does not always get them. His obvious yearning to move forward, try new things, and take risks endears him to a new kind of voter who wants government to work for change. You quote his second inaugural address, "We don't need Republican roads or Democratic roads," and I'm not even going to try to use the accent. "We need roads. We don't need Republican health care or Democratic health care. We need health care." And you hasten to add, to your credit, it's not that simple, of course. So I do think you make a strong case, and the results of elections clearly show that Californians, while they have some misgivings and aren't always sure which version of Arnold they're voting for at a given time, they have twice given him serious majorities, and he has governed from the center.
Thank you. I think he has, and I think that's why he has such widespread popularity even now, because a huge majority of Californians are loyal to neither the Republican nor the Democratic Party. Increasingly, they're registering even outside both of those parties, and they actually appreciate someone who, while he has certain core beliefs, appears to be willing to compromise and be pragmatic to move toward goals that he has in common with people from the other side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. And if I can use the term concocted, when he dreamed up this candidacy, it really did seem to come at the last minute after the Daryl Issa and other right-wing radio talk shows in the state qualified the recall of Governor Davis. He cobbled together a strategy, and you talk about that in the book, in particular about how he brought environmental issues into his orbit in a way that is different from most Republican elected officials in this country.
Yeah, I don't think it was a last-minute decision. I think he'd been planning to run for governor for some time, but when the recall popped up, he was forced to move more quickly than he anticipated. Mm-hmm. On the environmental issues, yeah,
He claims to have always had sort of a layman's appreciation for the environment. I mean, don't we all? We all love laying on clean beaches and hiking in beautiful forests. But he's quite open about the fact that until he was a candidate, he had never thought very seriously about all the policy issues involved.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was consulted a family member, his wife's cousin, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who referred him to a guy by the name of Terry Tamminen, who was in Santa Monica then working for a clean water, clean bay program. And he and Tamminen just hit it off. I mean, Arnold even uses the word love in expressing his admiration for Tamminen in an interview I did with him for the book. And Tamminen really liked Schwarzenegger, even though he was a liberal environmental activist. He saw that Schwarzenegger had a sincere desire to bridge the partisan divide on that issue, and they put together kind of a manifesto that described what Schwarzenegger would do or try to do if he was elected governor.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dan Weintraub of the Sacramento Bee. His new book about Schwarzenegger is called Party of One. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment. You just want to say something about the governor. You're welcome to join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, let's talk a little bit about economics, because that's been a big struggle since the beginning. Of course, one of the reasons for the recall of Gray Davis was the problems that developed from the so-called reform of our electrical utilities that led to the blackouts and the gouging from El Paso and Enron and others. And, Dan, I do think that, particularly for the benefit of people who don't live in California, you could have given a little more history and context to how Gray Davis got in such deep doo-doo. Because the way the legislature rammed through the deregulation of the utilities and, essentially incentivized them to sell off the power plants really created that crisis. And then it was compounded, of course, by the good times of the 1990s. And, in hindsight, Gray Davis was cautious about spending the revenues that came in the late 1990s, and in particular on the car tax. You know, that was an issue that originally came out of Virginia, and Gray Davis took a look at that and was afraid Republicans would use it against him. And so he crafted this complicated reduction in the car tax that would be canceled in the event that we had another shortage of revenue in the general fund. And in the book, you make it seem like he elected to raise the car tax when he had created this mechanism that kept his fingerprints off it.
Well, actually, the deal that you're referring to had been amended and adjusted over the years from its original purpose, which is exactly as you describe. And by the time he pulled that trigger, the law was much more murky. And in fact, the legislative council, the Democratic legislature's own lawyer, issued an opinion that summer saying that the conditions that would allow for an executive action to raise the car tax had not been met, that essentially the state had to be completely out of money and unable to pay, you know, its next bill of $2.88 or whatever it might be, which was not the case that summer. So
mm-hmm.
there was actually a very strong legal case to be made that Davis had acted, exceeded his powers in raising that tax, and if Schwarzenegger had not reduced it, which he wanted to do anyway for ideological reasons, but if he had not reduced it, a court case then challenging it may well have pulled out the rug from under the state, and then you would have had that much more money going out the door with programs depending on it.
Did you get a sense that the governor regrets his populist stand on the car tax? Certainly, you know, he came into office and with a great fanfare said, I'm rescinding this.
Yeah.
At the same time, it gave him an automatic $4 billion hole that has haunted him ever since.
I don't think he regrets that stand, nor taking the action he did on his first day in office. I do think that what he regrets is not having a better, more coherent strategy for dealing with the consequences of that action. And early in his term, as I recount in the book, he had an opportunity to bring Democrats and Republicans together on a budget plan that would be kind of a workout plan, the way a bankrupt company would crawl its way back to solvency, and he blew it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he first tried for something way too extreme, a constitutional limit on spending that would have shrunk the size of government over time. Anyone should have been able to tell him that the Democrats would never go for such a thing. And then once that failed,
he turned around and allowed the Democrats to write was essentially a fig leaf that did nothing. They called it a balanced budget amendment, but as later events have shown, it was nothing of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
If he had found middle ground then and had kind of a three-year workout plan where spending would continue to grow, just not at the pace it had been growing, by the end of his first term, he would have solved this problem.
Yeah. Dan Weintraub is with us from the Sacramento Bee, author of this new book about Governor Schwarzenegger. Now, again, focusing on the budget issues and the struggles that we've had over the past, since Schwarzenegger took office, you do mention Donna Ardwin, who was the first finance director imported from Florida, and she washed out in short order. And you also talk about his fascination with Milton Friedman's market-driven economic principles. And I'm curious why you left out Tom Campbell. He's a buddy of mine, and he ran for senator, and then he was over at Berkeley. He's the dean of the business school there. And Schwarzenegger borrowed him for a year, and he went to Sacramento. And I think Tom made some important contributions. He also helped frame the balanced budget ballot measure that failed in 2005.
I think I mentioned him in there somewhere, but, I mean, there's a lot you have to cram into a book like this, but you are absolutely correct. I mean, Campbell, interestingly enough, while he's sometimes seen as a moderate because he's so moderate to liberal on social issues, the first thing he said when he took over as finance director is, no new taxes. I mean, he was even firmer on that than Schwarzenegger or mm-hmm. Ardwin had been.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you mentioned, he helped draft actually the first balanced budget amendment that Schwarzenegger floated in 2005, which was a complicated kind of super formula.
It sure was.
He called it the robo-saw that was going to cut every program a certain amount if certain things didn't happen. It was far too complicated and too remote, and they eventually dumped that or something that was slightly more simple, but even that one failed miserably at the poll.
We're talking with Dan Weintraub, and William joins us from Santa Cruz. Hello, William. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I heard a discussion today with California Assembly Member Leno.
Uh-huh.
I forget his first name. I know
Mark.
Mark, okay, not Jay.
That's right.
And he was saying that actually there's this thing about Schwarzenegger being an environmental president, governor, not president, governor, that he has been able to accrue to himself a reputation like that. But actually, he issued a, it's not a signing statement, it's not a decree.
Executive order.
Sorry?
Executive order.
Executive order, thank you. That undid four of the provisions that he had signed, that the legislature, the bill they had put to him that he signed, he undid four of those 2 weeks later with an executive order. And then also, he says we don't have an income problem, we have a spending problem, and he won't raise taxes, but he actually, he fiddled with the vehicle registration fees, and that accounts for $6 billion of the budget out of the $14 billion, he says our budget is short. $6 billion of that came from what he did to the vehicle registration fees, which was income, and he undid it. So it was an income issue. And also, you know...
That would have to be a cumulative figure, William. Would you agree, Dan?
That's actually the current... You mentioned the $4 billion, but, of course, more cars now and newer cars, the estimate of the annual value of that has grown to $6 billion.
Oh,
caller's
okay.
Right on that point.
Very good,
okay,
William.
Well,
go ahead.
I got those figures from Assemblymember Leno, what I heard on the radio, so I'm just repeating what he said. But
okay.
Also, he said that the interest has come due on all the billions that he borrowed. I mean, when he first was running against Gray Davis and he was going to solve the problems and he wouldn't really get specific then when he got in office, lo and behold, it was, let's put it on the credit card, folks. He's going to borrow billions of dollars. And now some of the interest is coming due on that, and that's also what's creating part of the budget shortfall to the tune of billions of dollars. So,
all right, let's get a comment from Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you.
Sure. On that last point first, of course, when Davis left office, there was a huge deficit pending from his final year in office. It was on the order of $8 to $10 billion, and what Schwarzenegger did was essentially refinance that debt because, like the car tax, there were serious questions about the legality of the debt financing method that Davis had chosen because it was not going to take a vote of the people. Well, the Constitution clearly says that you must have a vote of the people to borrow that kind of money. So what Schwarzenegger did is repackage that send it to the voters. And, yes, like somebody refinancing their house, he took some cash out on the deal, borrowed more than the original deficit was standing, and was going to use that money to kind of ease their way back to a balanced budget. And as I mentioned before, he failed miserably at that strategy. As far as the interest on that debt, I mean, it's the debt service. It's the interest in the principal. They are repaying it every year. But most of that, in fact, all of it until this year, was what Davis had left behind. Now Schwarzenegger is selling the final piece of that bond that the voters approved, and that will be added to the debt service in the years ahead.
Please,
the
let me stop for a break here, Dan. We'll pick up in a moment. And Arnold, of course, would like to sell the lottery, maybe a freeway, a bridge somewhere, raise some cash for California. We'll continue in just a moment. Dan Weintraub's new book about Schwarzenegger is called Party of One. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with five different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Everybody needs a smoking tent, right? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dan Weintraub's new book is called Party of One. And, Dan, I had to cut you short before the break. You wanted to make a comment about William's question about the environment, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure the specific actions he's referring to, but it sounds like he's talking about AB 32, the global warming bill. And there was a dispute from the very beginning on that as to the extent to which Schwarzenegger was empowered to use what they call market mechanisms to bring about those reductions in greenhouse gases. And the final version of the bill said that the Air Resources Board may use market-based approaches, but only after certain conditions. And Schwarzenegger very quickly began the process of introducing a market in emission permits. And the Democrats, and Leno included, I think, protested and said, no, you've got to do a bunch of other things first. And so there's a dispute over that. And it seems to be eating. I don't think anyone would to stop him or anything.
Yeah. Dan, I think you did a good job in the book of covering the problems that Schwarzenegger has confronted, certainly not all of his making, regarding the prison system, the Department of Corrections. He added the term and rehabilitation to the name. But he has had a difficult time. The medical care system's in receivership. The prison guards union is very powerful and has cornered him in at certain points of his tenure. And I think you described that very well. There's one point I'd like to ding you for, though, because you gloss over the way that he jumped in the campaign to reform the three strikes law. It was trending like 16 points up 2 weeks out from the election. He took money from the prison guards and from a couple of Orange County millionaires, went on television, and I use this term advisedly, he demagogued the issue because he made statements in the TV commercials that had been evaluated by a judge and rejected for inclusion in the ballot measure because they were, quote-unquote, patently false. And in particular, he said that 26,000 felons would be released if, I think it was Prop 66 or 166 passed. And that was not true because the ballot measure said that they could petition a court to be resentenced, but there was no mechanism there to release dangerous felons. And I think you let him off easy on that one.
That's fair enough. I mean, again, I could not include every single thing that happened in this administration. I did say that his action contributed to the very overcrowding problems that he has complained about, but as far as the nitty-gritty details of his statements in that campaign right there, they were not referenced in that section of the book.
Well, to me, it's the scariest moment since he became governor. I really felt, here's a guy who will go on television, use his celebrity, and lie to the citizens of California. And that ballot measure, you know, the trend reversed by, what, 24 points? It lost by 8 in the end, I think.
Well, I think to say that that the measure would release 26,000 people versus that it would allow those guys to petition for their release when the language, the intent of the authors of the measure was to, in fact, get them out because they had not been sentenced for a violent or serious crime. I don't know that that's the turning point in the campaign. I think the turning point was him getting on the air, expressing his view, and having Gray Davis and George McMahon and Jerry Brown or whoever else. There was every governor.
Bill Lockyer, yeah, they were all on board.
Pete Wilson on board. I think it was the force of several bipartisan governors and just them saying, this is bad news.
All right, but I will not retract this. He looked at the camera and he used a line that had been described as patently false, and that I find unforgivable. Now, in the next hour, we're going to have two views on Prop 93, which California voters will look at next Tuesday. It would change the term limits laws. Steve Wesley, the former controller, is in favor of it, and Steve Poizner, the current insurance commissioner, is against it, so it'll be interesting. How did Schwarzenegger come to support 93 after demanding that the Democrats also put a reapportionment bill or initiative on the ballot at the same time?
I think he concluded, like a lot of the rest of us, that the legislature needs more continuity, and he's comfortable dealing with the leaders who are in there now, and he's kind of on a roll, even though he's had his ups and downs policy-wise, but he probably doesn't want to deal with a whole new generation of legislators and generation of leaders who he'd have to meet and greet and wine and dine and get to know and figure out.
But after Don Parada killed his health reform, think he still feels it?
Before Don Parada killed his health care reform.
I know that.
If they had been the other way around, he might have acted differently. I think it was more in deference to Nunez than to Parada, who had already passed the health care reform and seems to have worked fairly sincerely on the redistricting issue also, which Parada has always been the one who's more resistant to that.
Dan Weintraub, the book is Party of One, Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Rise of the Independent Voter. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk again.
Love to see you, though. Thanks.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Prop 93 Pro and Con on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Big news in the war on terrorism.
A senior al-Qaeda operative is now permanently out of operation.
The military not ready for a big terrorist attack here. I'm Dan Rabin.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. officials confirmed that a major figure in al-Qaeda was killed earlier this week when an unmanned CIA drone fired a missile at a compound in remote northwestern Pakistan near the Afghan border. Abu Laith al-Libi was believed to be the link between al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Allegedly, he masterminded the bombing at a U.S. military base in Afghanistan during a visit by Vice President Cheney last year. CBS News correspondent David Martin says the attack signals a stepped-up American campaign in that region.
U.S. officials have become increasingly concerned about the safe haven which al-Qaeda has carved out in the tribal areas of Pakistan. And this strike by a CIA drone is one of the few ways that they have of actually attacking al-Qaeda in those areas, because Pakistan has refused to allow U.S. troops in there.
While Pakistani President Musharraf said no to U.S. troops during a meeting with CIA Director Michael Hayden earlier this month, sources say he did agree to increased use of the drones. If terrorists succeeded in launching a catastrophic attack on the United States, a new report says Homeland Defense Forces would not be prepared.
After 3 years of study, the top recommendation: train and equip reservists and the National Guard into an operational force that can quarantine parts of cities if there's a biological or chemical attack, and respond even to a nuclear bomb set off by terrorists. But the chairman of the commission, Arnold Punaro, a defense contractor, finds government agencies unwilling
to make the homeland mission have equal priority to our overseas mission.
A response from the military's Northern Command, created after 9/11 to defend the U.S., will continue to improve this year. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry into Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
It promises to be an exciting evening in Campaign 08, the Democratic candidates' debate, less than a week before Super Tuesday. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is covering.
Star power has been replaced in Hollywood tonight by political power in the persons of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. The two remaining Democratic hopefuls will face off in 1 hour here at the Kodak Theater. It will be their first one-on-one debate, and coming just 5 days before Super Tuesday, the stakes are high. The national polls show the race between the two getting closer, but this is one script where the ending has not been written. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood.
The Obama campaign reported today that it's raised $32 million in the month of January.
Barack Obama having raised that much money in the first month of the year is pretty substantial. It demonstrates that what we've seen in the polls and in the results of the race, which is there's an awful lot of excitement for him in the country right now.
Juan Ververs is a senior political editor at CBSNews.com. The Republican candidates have been competing to be the one most like Ronald Reagan. Today, Mitt Romney accused John McCain of being more like Richard Nixon for falsely implying that Romney favors a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq. McCain picked up another endorsement today from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There are people out there that talk about reaching across the aisle, but he has shown the action over and over again. He's also crusaded to end wasteful spending in Washington, which is so important.
McCain was also endorsed by Governor Rick Perry, who speaks with a Texas accent. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is pushing for action on economic stimulus.
The White House and the House have done their part. Now let's do our part. Let's vote on the House-passed bill without any further delay.
The majority Democrats say, okay, they've scheduled a vote next Monday on an expansion of the stimulus package. On Wall Street, the Dow fell more than 200 points, then rebounded, closing 207 points higher at 12,650. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do, like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates, and in most cases, other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. He never satisfies. This hour we get two views on Proposition 93. It's on the ballot Tuesday. It regards term limits for legislators in Sacramento.
Dig if you will the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this? Dream of a Cascadia, an ocean of violets in bloom, and the most striking curious poses.
Later this hour, California's Republican Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner will join us. He is opposed to Proposition 93 and has put more than $1 million of his personal fortune into the campaign to defeat it. We had expected to be joined by Steve Westley, the former Democratic state controller of California, but he's unable to be with us this hour, and subbing for him is Richard Stapler from the Yes on 93 campaign. Richard, nice to talk with you.
Good to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me on, Peter.
Well, I think it's an important issue, and I think that the television commercials are misleading on both sides, and I think that it's important to have some conversation here, hear your point of view, and we'll hear the opposing point. And we'll take lots of phone calls, too. So for people who are planning to vote and maybe have or have not made up your mind, give us a call toll-free this hour, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And I went to the Secretary of State's website to get the neutral reading of what's in Proposition 93. It's got three bullet points, and it's rather simple in its language. It reduces the total amount of time a person may serve in the state legislature from the current 14 years to 12 years. It allows a person to serve a total of 12 years, either in the Assembly, the Senate, or a combination of both. And here's the third point, which I think is crucial to many voters. It provides a transition period to allow current members to serve a total of 12 consecutive years in the House in which they are currently serving, regardless of any prior service in another House. So it basically gives special treatment to those who are incumbents at the moment, and it would give an extended lease on life to Fabian Nunez, the Speaker of the Assembly, and also to Don Parada, the President Pro Tem of the Senate, and a number of other legislators who are currently termed out from their current posts. It would not necessarily ban all of these people from serving in Sacramento, but in Parada's case, he's already been in the Assembly, and he came in the middle of a term there in the state Senate, and so he's maxed out. And in the case of Fabian Nunez, he likewise is maxed out in the Assembly under the current law. One other point from the Secretary of State's website, the summary of the legislative analyst's estimate of net state and local government fiscal impact, and it's described as nil. So those are the baseline information that you'll be confronting. If you may have voted already by mail, you've probably read the voter guide. But if not, perhaps that'll be helpful to you. Richard, make the case here. Why do Fabian Nunez, Don Parada, and the other termed out legislators deserve a special exemption from the current term limits law?
Well, at first, I think it's important to look at Proposition 93 not in the specter of any one particular member of the state legislature. Really, what this is a long-term systemic political reform to make the state legislature more efficient and more effective. California's term limits law was passed in 1990 in the form of Proposition 140, establishing first some of the country's first term limits for legislators, but also, as it stands right now, the strictest term limits for legislators. With a state of 37 million people and the seventh largest economy in the world, that's a pretty bitter pill to swallow. And so over the past several years, over the past decade, there have been several independent outside reports that have recommended some kind of reform to the term limits that we currently have to make the system work better. The consistent recommendation from the California Constitution Revision Commission, from an independent report by two University of California professors, has been that you should allow legislators to serve all of their terms of office in one House or the other, or a combination of the two. Allows more flexibility, adds to continuity. Legislators can gain more experience on one particular policy area or another. Now, you bring up the issue of the transition period for current legislators.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note, when we drafted Proposition 93, that we needed by law to put in a transition period because of equal protection issues in the Constitution.
Explain, please.
If we were going to pass a law, we're going to impact a certain class of people, in this case, legislators, we have to treat them all equally. And so in this situation, it was allow them to finish 12 years in the House that they currently serve. It's important to note with Proposition 140, the first term limits law, it actually started the clock back at zero and allowed legislators to serve 14 years more. In this case, it would just be a few years more. And with Proposition 93, what we're really looking at here is making sure that legislators have the time to gain experience to be effective. And so we think that's a very important issue to look at.
Well, on the transition issue, Fabian Nunez desperately wants to hold on to his job. He has raised almost $700,000 through a committee to protect California's future. And likewise, Don Parada from Oakland has raised $350,000 through a committee called the Voter Education and Registration Fund. And so clearly their self-interest is reflected in Proposition 93. And Richard, let me give you just a sense of where I'm at.
Okay.
And let me be clear, you haven't talked to me before, you haven't been on my show. I do not make specific endorsements, and I don't tell people how I think they should vote. But I do share with my listeners my attitudes and how I plan to vote. And my background on this is that I opposed the original term limits initiative in California. I believe that in my district, I should be permitted to reelect my assembly member, my state senator, for as long as they are serving my interests. And so Willie Brown was the poster boy for that, and it was a pretty virulent campaign funded by a lot of right-wing money. And it offended me, and I did not support term limits at that time. At this point, I have to say that I'm going to vote no on 93. And the reason is that Parada and Nunez, in my view, have not honored some of the commitments they made to the governor and to the people of California regarding other reforms that they were going to bring forward in the same package. And that, in particular, is redistricting. And while I voted against the governor's redistricting package in 2005 because I didn't like the way it was framed and because I was in a no to Arnold on everything mood at that time, I believe that these gentlemen, and I'm referring particularly to the two leaders of the houses, have not earned a new lease on life. And in fact, I think that they have sullied their positions by the excessive gift-giving and campaign money that Nunez has been widely reported to have spent over the last year or so. And in Don Parada's case, there are open questions about his ethics. And I say that as somebody who knows the man. And in fact, his daughter once worked for me as a producer at a radio station. And I am sorry to say that the scandal that has not yet resulted in an indictment, but in a very messy investigation into Don Parada's financial dealings with a consultant who was receiving money from campaign contributors who and then you know, paid a fee to Don Parada, I'm sorry. That is a standard of ethics that is beneath mine, and I cannot reward that behavior by passing this measure that is really tailored to keep these people in office for a little bit longer.
Well, again, you know, when the Los Angeles Times endorsed Proposition 93, they, you know, in all fairness, brought up some similar issues. But in endorsing the measure, again, they were looking forward to trying to make the legislature a more effective body. And I think that's what we really try and do here is focus on the policy at hand.
Well, Richard, let me tell you that I concede that point. Mm-hmm. I think that term limits has produced a kind of turnover that brings amateurs to Sacramento who take time to learn the ropes, learn the procedures, and during that time they're heavily dependent not only on staff, which I don't find problematic, but on lobbyists and those who are funding their campaigns. And so, you know, I'm not entirely opposed to extension of the term limits. I wouldn't mind scrapping the law altogether. It's under the current circumstances that simply I'm not prepared to vote for it.
Yeah, again, we particularly with the redistricting issue, you know, I think many agree that California needs some kind of reform to redistricting. And I can tell you, having sort of watched the process play out, that it is a very complicated debate. It almost has a national implications when we go through the redistricting debate. And the way I like to look at term limits reform is it's a way that we can take care of our own house and help keep our own legislature in order and make it work more effectively. But again, I think, you know, there's another redistricting initiative that's going to be on the ballot in November.
Mm-hmm.
That the government or governor is very much in support of. And actually, you know, the governor endorsed Proposition 93 about a week and a half ago.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, he was made a very clear argument, I think, in sort of bifurcating term limits and redistricting as two separate issues. While he had a similar opinion in that the two should be linked,
mm-hmm.
He, from his position and seeing how the legislature functions, felt that the reforms in Proposition 93 were the right way to go and a way to make the legislature more effective.
Now, this may seem a little snarky, but let me just ask you this, because I've seen the commercials on TV with the Schwarzenegger endorsement, and with the millions you've raised to pass this ballot measure, couldn't you afford a better microphone to to get his comment? It looked like a home video shot, you know, with a microphone that's built into the camera.
The commercial that you refer to, we use a couple of different elements. I think there are three or four distinct elements in a 30-second commercial. And, we talk about some of the special interest influence in Sacramento, but also we highlight several of our main endorsements, including California Common Cause and the Los Angeles Times and also the governor. And so when you fit in those pieces, it's more about telling voters about those endorsements sometimes rather than focusing on some of the other things.
All right, I've got some really nice microphones over here if you need to borrow one, okay?
Well, your voice sounds crystal clear, so I completely understand.
Richard Stapler is our guest. He is with Yes on 93. You support term limits extension, or are you going to vote no on 93? Give us a call. Let us know. Lines are open for you right now. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. And by the way, there's so far no term limits for me, and I like it that way. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. We're going to start at Aptos. Trout Gulch Road at Soquel Drive going to stall. This is actually a car broken down on some train tracks, so do be aware of that. Again, it's Trout Gulch Road at Soquel Drive at Aptos. Elkhorn Road at Cashville Boulevard. Keep your eyes open. Reports of a dog kind of running back and forth across the lane, so it is a little drizzly, so do keep your eyes open. Again, it's Elkhorn Road at Cashville Boulevard. Santa Cruz Mounts, thankfully, even though despite the weather, looking pretty good so far. No stalls, no accidents to let you know about. So both both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Check and install and accident-free. For the most part, you're rolling at the limit in both directions. And Santa Cruz, also some long-term road work to be aware of. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1, that is shut down all the way until summertime. Does your immune system need a boost? Try Emergency's powerful immune-boosting formula packed with 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Emergency, feel the good. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic on KRXA.
Steve Poizner, the Republican Insurance Commissioner of the state who is opposed to 93, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We continue now with Richard Stapler. He is a spokesperson for the campaign in favor of Proposition 93. Lynn in Eureka, you're up and on the air. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi. I'm calling just because I have a different take on term limits. I don't like them. If a guy's doing a good job, I want to vote for him. And if a guy's doing a bad job, I want to vote him out.
Well, I understand that point, and I always thought that people, you know, I wanted term limits for Jesse Helms, for example. I'd like to be able to vote to prevent somebody else from electing somebody they like. And so fundamentally, Lynn, I agree with you. It's just at this time I'm in this mode where I don't feel that these current incumbents deserve the extension on their terms, and a more honorable way to do this would have been to introduce it earlier so that another thing we have here is a mad scramble, because until the outcome of this is known, we won't know who is really going to be able to run for the open Senate seats or challenge the incumbents in the June primary. So I think it's really unfair in the timing and in the fact that this current crop of legislators hasn't delivered on key issues for me. That's maybe that seems personal or petty, but that's my point of view.
Well, yeah, and the other thing about this bill is it really doesn't give us a choice about term limits the way I'd like them. I'd like to just do away with them, not change them.
Yeah, and Richard, that has been tried in the past, right?
Well, there has been an effort to change term limits in California before. In 2002, there was a Proposition 45, which there was an effort to do something a little bit different in that people in their legislative districts could collect signatures to have a candidate's name put on the ballot for, I think, two more terms. It was a little bit complicated system, and there was a fairly high cost to each one of the counties, and also there were some fundraising mechanisms that were somewhat controversial, and so that failed, I think, 58% to 42%.
All right. Thank you very much, Lynn. Now to Jack in Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Go ahead, Jack. Jack, are you there? Jack, going once. Billy Sunshine of Capitola, welcome.
Thank you. Well, you know, what you really got to talk about is the elephant in the room, and that's the 98% incumbency that we suffer from. Yeah, it'd be great not to need term limits, but I've seen the shape of my district. Have you seen the shape of yours?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Do you think that that's an art project, or was it designed to make sure your vote doesn't count?
It is a computer-drawn map that is very carefully calculated. And what we had in the reapportionment of following the 2000 census was the Burton deal, which was let's lock them all down in place, and starting with the congressional districts and then the state senate districts and the what are called the what's the term for that? They're embedded. They're the assembly districts are built into the senate districts.
Nesting. And, yeah.
Thank you. Nesting.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's really bizarre, Billy, is that this effort by the Republicans to change the way our electoral votes are accounted for and applied, changing the winner-take-all system, would be built on this messy redistricting plan that locks in the incumbents, which makes it predictable which districts would be given to the Republicans in the presidential race. It's all a house of cards, and it's a big mess.
And, Peter, I want to imagine the meeting where the public sort of got up in arms and said to themselves, we need to put a proposition on the ballot and save Nunez and save Parada. Or
all
did
right.
It come from them?
Billy,
of course,
Billy, sorry, Billy, I got to cut you there because I want to give Richard 30 seconds here to wrap up. Go ahead.
Yeah, Richard. I just wanted to say, you know, with term limits in particular right now, there's a disincentive now because the time horizons are so short for people to run against members they may not like. They can just let the clock run out and run for that seat again. But I'll tell you, backing up with that,
Proposition 93 really is a common sense, modest reform. Will make the state legislature more efficient and more effective. But you will also have the opportunity every 2 years or every 4 years to choose who you ultimately send to Sacramento. And I think that's an important point to make, is that you get more choice with Proposition 93.
Richard Stapler, yes on 93. Steve Poizner, no on 93. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In the snit over Mitt, you must acquit. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Would Mitt Romney tip the enemy that we're leaving Iraq? John McCain said again at last night's debate that he would, provoking Mitt into what for a Republican is the ultimate condemnation.
Sort of falls in the kind of dirty tricks that I think Ronald Reagan would have found to be reprehensible.
Uh-oh. Oh, I know. I'm sorry the kids had to hear that. The issue is this Romney quote from an appearance on Good Morning America.
Well, there's no question but that the President and Prime Minister al-Maliki have to have a series of timetables and milestones.
He mentioned a timetable, but a timetable between the two leaders.
But those shouldn't be for public pronouncement. You don't want the enemy to understand how long they have to wait in the weeds until you're going to be gone.
He was saying you have to evaluate your progress, but you don't tip your hand to the enemy.
You don't publish that to your enemy, or they just simply lie in wait until that time.
But to John McCain, all that mattered was that Romney was implying that he would leave someday.
That means that we were leaving.
It opens
if we weren't leaving, how I'm could sorry. The enemy lay
I'm
in
sorry.
Wait?
McCain doesn't think you should even imply that you intend to leave. Huh. You know, if he really believes that it's a sin even to imply that we would be leaving Iraq, I wonder how he feels about what this fellow said on April 10th, 2003, the day after U.S. troops rolled into Baghdad.
We will help you build a peaceful and representative government that protects the rights of all citizens. And then our military forces will leave.
Ring a bell? Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
This is Dave Ross, on the web at DaveRoss.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me Sundays starting February 10th to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when?
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes after the hour. Coming up next hour, Free Speech Zone. We'll take your calls about Edwards' withdrawal, about the Democratic debate in Los Angeles tonight. And, finally, a fantasy song that we've been playing on this program for years reaches reality. It has to do with the Naked Airlines song that we've been playing. There's actually an airline now that'll let you fly nude. I think it's a little crazy.
Bless your soul. You really think you're in control?
Let's continue our conversation about ballot measure Prop 93. Voters will face it on Tuesday, or perhaps you already have in the privacy of your own home. And before we introduce Steve Poizner, I just want to recap for those who may have just joined us after a 40-minute commercial break. It's not really that long, but I understand. I want to recap what Prop 93 does, the neutral language from the analysis of the State Secretary of State. And it really is simple. It offers 3 points. Prop 93 reduces the total amount of time a person may serve in the California legislature from 14 years currently to 12 years. It allows a person to serve that 12 years either in the Assembly, the Senate, or a combination of the two. The third item, it provides a transition period to allow current members to serve a total of 12 consecutive years in the House in which they are currently serving, and it wipes away any count of prior service in another House. Don Parada, for example, is in the State Senate now, but he served in the Assembly before. And what this means is that Assembly timeline doesn't count, and the transition would allow him to serve 12 consecutive years in the State Senate, which for him is a little more than one term, because he actually came in and completed a term. He didn't start with a four-year term initially. Steve Poizner is California's Republican Insurance Commissioner. Steve, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much.
And I like to point out, I do share with my listeners some of my voting patterns. Steve Poizner is the only Republican who received a vote from me in the last statewide constitutional officer election, because he was running against a guy who was termed out. And Cruz Bustamante was just cruising for a new job, and he said, oh, how about insurance commissioner? And because of term limits, he couldn't stay on as lieutenant governor. And I didn't think he was a very good lieutenant governor, and I thought he would make a worse insurance commissioner. Because Cruz Bustamante lied to me on this radio program about the amount of money that he had taken from insurance companies when he was conducting that campaign for insurance commissioner. And Steve, just with that background, give us your thoughts about why you oppose Prop 93 and why you have put, more than $1 million of your own money into the campaign to defeat it.
First of all, Peter, thanks for your support in my insurance commissioner race. You know, I have been insurance commissioner now for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to come back onto your show and tell you some of the things I've been working on. It's been a fantastic year. It's a great job. I've been able to help consumers all over the state of California recover from wildfires. Arrested lots of people trying to rip off consumers and insurance companies with my fraud unit. And we've been, in general, driving down the cost of insurance across the board. So it's been a great job, and I really appreciated your support.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to Prop 93, a couple months ago, I just couldn't sit on the sidelines as one of only 8 elected statewide officers and watch a bunch of politicians in Sacramento try to pull a fast one over us all.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to fool voters into believing that if you vote yes on Proposition 93, that the amount of time people will serve in the legislature will actually go down. And, in fact, the impact is exactly the opposite. If 93 passes, the length of time you can serve in the assembly will double from 6 to 12. It'll go up by 50% in the Senate from 8 years to 12 years. And worse yet, as you described, there's this special loophole for incumbents that allows 42 termed-out incumbents from both parties to stay in office for many more years, some of up to 20 years. So this is really about a power grab by a bunch of people from both parties who are currently in the legislature. They're termed out, and they want to stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bad idea for the state of California.
Well, Steve, as I explained in the preceding half hour, I'm actually opposed to term limits. I think that voters in a district should be permitted to reelect their representative, an assembly member or a state senator, as long as that person is serving their interests. And I opposed Prop 140 when it was passed, basically to get rid of Willie Brown back in 1990. But like you, I do feel they're trying to pull a fast one here, and I do not appreciate that this group has failed to really come forward with just the minimum. Schwarzenegger, I think, correctly asked them to pair this measure with another ballot measure about redistricting that would take the drawing of the legislative districts out of the hands of the people who populate those legislative districts. And I think that that's a fundamental change that we need. I think the Burton map is a stinker, and I think that the payback for that is coming from some of those Republicans who were aligned with Rudy Giuliani. And they may still be circulating trying to qualify this measure that would change our winner-take-all electoral college vote allocation and essentially allow Republicans to cherry-pick about 20 or 22 districts in California for the presidential race. And, that's a very interesting double cross, if you will, on the intentions of these legislators.
Well, Peter, I agree with you that gerrymandering is a terrible problem here. And you referred to the Burton gerrymander. You know, Republicans got together with Democrats in 2001, and they rigged all elections by carefully drawing these political boundaries to eliminate competition. And I got to tell you, that 2001 gerrymander, the one that's currently in effect, is the Guinness Book of World Records when it comes to gerrymanders. Since the 2001 gerrymander, there's been 459 elections for state assembly, state senate, and Congress. And out of 459 elections, only one seat has changed from one party to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pretty much have eliminated competition, you know, for political office due to this gerrymandering. Now, term limits, I have some qualms about term limits, too. But with gerrymandering in place, the only thing that causes any rotation at all in the legislature right now is the current term limit law.
Yeah, the only contested races are the primary when there's an open seat or occasionally somebody dies or resigns.
Right, and if, with gerrymandering in place, if Proposition 93 passes and people can serve the full 12 years in one house or the other, which is what they're trying to get through here, then what's going to happen is a whole decade will go by with no competition at all. Once these incumbents get in there, and with gerrymandering in place, that would be a terrible combination. Now, if we want to modify term limits to make them work better, or to give some of the better leaders a little bit more time, you know, we can talk about that. But they shouldn't apply all these loopholes and grandfather clauses just to a bunch of current incumbents, and they absolutely have to bundle it with redistricting reform, which is what Senator Parada and Speaker Nunez promised.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, redistricting reform has never made it on the ballot, as we know, and of course the term limit extension, which is good for them, did make it on the ballot. So it's, you know, a bad idea.
Steve, on the gerrymandering issue, tell me if this is relevant, but I know you ran for the legislature before you ran for insurance commissioner. You spent a lot of money, for a seat in Redwood City, right?
Redwood City was a part of the district. It went from Redwood City down to Almaden Valley in San Jose.
Uh-huh. And was that a difficult district to try to get traction in?
It surely was. I mean, I'm a Republican, a moderate Republican. I was able to appeal to tens of thousands of Democrats and independents. I'm not a real partisan warrior. I'm a coalition builder. And so I just say, okay, I'm going to run for state assembly anyways from this district that's been carefully crafted to be safe for anyone who happens to be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put an enormous effort into into it and got extremely close.
Yeah, 2 points, 2.5 points.
Oh, actually, I got 49%. And by the way, that was the year where the person at the top of the Republican ticket, President Bush, in 2004, he lost by over 20 percentage points in my district. And so to get within 1 percentage point of actually winning a gerrymandered seat, you know, I got close. But that gave me a firsthand look at the incredible power of being able to draw these political boundaries, where the lines of the boundaries zig and zag in all these different directions in order to, you know, basically stuff a district, you know, full of, you know, of a certain kind of voter. And we shouldn't let politicians from either party do that kind of thing.
Steve Poizner is with us, California's insurance commissioner. He's opposed to Proposition 93. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Ryan in Pacific Grove, listening on KRXA. Welcome, Ryan.
I'm Steve in Salinas.
Okay, I picked up the wrong line. Steve, go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm tended to vote against 93 because my feeling is that I have no way to back this up, but 80-90% of those folks think of themselves first, their party second, and then maybe what's best for the rest of us. But if we had instant runoff elections and public campaign financing, I think I could support it because we would have more choices that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, you know, I have to say that instant runoff voting is interesting and attractive in certain respects, but I'd like you to take a look in depth at what happened in San Francisco when they used instant runoff voting, and a guy named Ed Jew got elected. He was everybody's third choice, and he turned out to be a bad apple. He lied about where he lived so that he could run in that district, and he is now under a serious federal investigation for taking bribes. And so I think that's an unintended consequence. I do think that, you know, instant runoff voting is a good way to try to break the lock of the two-party system, but it does have some unintended consequences. Steve Poizner?
Well, I think you're right about that. I mean, I do think the caller has the right instincts, though. If we actually had a fair system, you know, where there wasn't, you know, gerrymandering, and if you could really hold these politicians accountable, then you know, we would have less need for strict term limits. But under the current scenario with gerrymandering in place and other huge edges that incumbents tend to grab for themselves against any challenger, you know, these term limit laws, you know, actually, you know, create some healthy competition, which is a good thing.
Steve, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Very good. Now we've got Ryan. Sorry for the false alarm. Ryan, you're on the air now.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in. I'm from the Monterey area, and our state assemblyman is John Laird.
Right.
And I just feel like he's done an excellent job, you know, throughout his time in office. Like,
I agree. I like John Laird a lot, and I think he's a very dedicated legislator.
Yeah, really down to earth, too. He comes out to the county fair and, you know, talks to his constituents, and, you know, you can meet him and chop it up with him, and just a real nice guy, and, you know, I just wanted to agree with what you and some of the other callers have said, and that if somebody's, you know, doing a good job for the Californians, I feel like we should be able to, you know, keep voting them in, or at least, you know, have the right to extend the good job that they're doing.
Well, let me say something nice about John Laird, because I have a list here of the contributors to the Yes on 93 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this, now, maybe he made a contribution, and I don't know about it. This may not be a total rundown, but his name doesn't show up here. But Fabian Nunez has raised almost $700,000 to try to buy himself an extra 6 years in the legislature, and presumably he would remain as Speaker of the Assembly. And frankly, I got a problem with that.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. You know, I realize that it's going to extend, you know, possibly extend, you know, other people staying in office too. And I don't know what kind of job they're doing.
Right.
But I just want to say, you know, for Monterey County voters, you know, most of the people I know, we'd be happy to see John Laird continue to represent us.
I sure understand that, Ryan. And again, it's why I'm fundamentally opposed to term limits. I think you should have that choice. But given the way the system works, the corruption of the political process with all the contributions that come from corporate interests and that really prevent our legislators from properly representing the public, we've seen them help defeat ballot measures that would clean up the campaign finance system in this state. And so you got to take it as a whole package, and that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I hear you. Maybe it's just not the right proposition or not the right time.
Gotcha. Steve Poizner is with us. We're going to take a break. He's California's insurance commissioner. He's opposed to Proposition 93. If you're in favor of it, give us a call. We'll hear you out. Lines are open right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Afternoon, taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Going to start in Boulder Creek. This is actually the only accident to tell you about. It's Highway 9 at Irwin Way. Two vehicles mix it up. Both of them, though, also, they managed to limp themselves over to the right-hand shoulder. But you're going to see quite a bit of activity, emergency crews, as well as a couple tow trucks just about on scene. CHP already there, though. So, again, this is Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Irwin Way. Two car accident over to that right-hand side. Thankfully, despite the weather, Santa Cruz Mountain's still looking pretty good. No stalls, no accidents to let you know about. So, Highway 17 for the most part, both directions, you're rolling at the limit. Do have some road work to be aware of, though, in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, that's shut down from northbound 1. This is long-term road work, so it's scheduled to be shut down all the way until the summer of this year. That's how long you have to make your way around that. Traffic, it is brought to you by TomTom. Go confidently. With exclusive Help Me feature, TomTom helps you find emergency assistance at the tap of a finger, no matter where you are. TomTom, go confidently. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Eight minutes in front of the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. Great to have you listening. We're talking about Proposition 93. Voters have already faced it if you vote by mail, or you'll see it on your ballot Tuesday. It would extend, well, it would change term limits. It would reduce the current max of 14 to 12, but there's some quick shuffle there, a change-up. Because it does allow 42 incumbents to stay longer. 6 years if Fabian Nunez spent the rest of his time in the state assembly, and 4 years in the case of Don Parada, who is the current pro tem president of the Senate. And do I have that right, Steve Poizner? Because as I recall, Parada came in the middle of a term in the state Senate in a special election. And so it's unclear to me exactly how long the clock has run and if the transition language here would essentially wipe away the record.
Well, yes, that's the purpose of the transition language, and some people believe that the transition language was changed two or three times just to make sure that Senator Parada could get an additional four full years, you know, as a senator, and so that'll bring his total time serving, you know, well past 14 years, which is the current limit.
Now let me ask you to explain this, because before you came on, Richard Stapler, a spokesperson for Yes on 93. He said that this transition was required for equal protection under the law, that there would have then been a class of legislators who were disadvantaged by the change in the law. That doesn't pass my BS detector.
Well, better you say that than I. I mean, clearly this has to do with making sure that the current crop of legislators benefit from the thing. I mean, this whole idea of Prop 93 started a year ago. I mean, it's just so insincere for anybody from the Yes campaign to say this isn't all about the current crop of folks wanting to stay longer. So a year ago, they had to figure out some way to create a special election because, you know, you can't put this term limit extension on the normal June primary ballot because then it wouldn't apply to the crop of people who are terming out in 2008, including Mr. Nunez and Mr. Parada. So lo and behold, we now have a February special election, and you can argue it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's costing, you know, taxpayers $80 million to have this special election on February 5th. And then beyond that, all these transition clauses and special loopholes are just specifically designed, you know, to benefit, you know, Mr. Nunez and Mr. Parada and 40 other people. And by the way, even though Mr. Nunez has raised $700,000 personally, he's also raised another $15 million for the Yes on 93 campaign into the main Yes on 93 accounts.
Yeah, it's
so
a total of $16 million
from special interest groups who have business in front of the legislature.
And what is the no side raised, Steve?
$7 million. So we're going to be outspent at least 2-1, and that's okay. You know, we have enough money to get our message out, and you know, once voters have gotten a whiff of the fact that this is self-serving, then, you know, support for it has really plummeted.
Why did your Republican counterpart, the governor, support this, Steve?
Well, you know, I'm really disappointed because the governor came out clearly a few months ago and said, I will absolutely not support Proposition 93 unless it was bundled with redistricting reform. It's clearly not being bundled with redistricting reform on the February ballot. And so he changed his mind. The only thing I can conclude is that the dysfunctional nature of what's going on right now in Sacramento, he felt that he was in a corner and he was being pressured to wheel and deal on Prop 93 in exchange for trying to make some progress on the whole host of other issues that he's, you know, trying to deal with right now.
All right. Jake and Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, listening to KGOE.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
I definitely do agree with Steve. I think that Proposition 93 should be defeated. You know, why it is that 43 members of the state Senate and Assembly think they're important enough to extend their terms, even though the voters of the state clearly stated back in 1990 when they passed the proposition saying they wanted term limits, why is it this current crop of legislators is ignoring the will of the voters, Peter B.?
Oh, come on.
That's a rhetorical question.
You axing me, Jake? I'll let Steve take that one.
Well, you know what happens when you get a bunch of politicians together from both parties. I mean, I think one of the earlier callers had it exactly right. They're most concerned about their own power and much less concerned about anything else. And that's what, you know, the voters, you know, we have to be on the lookout. And we have to be on the lookout for when they're trying to pull a fast one. And this is a particular situation where they're trying to fool voters into letting them stay in power for a much longer period of time. And it's not right. And fortunately, voters are getting wind of the true impact here. And I feel that all the polls are moving in the right direction. We have an excellent chance of beating this thing on February 5th.
Anything else, Jake?
Oh, I disagree. I do think that 93 must go down to defeat. It's a joke that this is even on the ballot in the first place.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call from Eureka today. Well, Steve, we've got about 30 seconds. A final comment from you?
Well, it's just really important for people to read the fine print and also to read some of the editorials that have been written about all of the details of Prop 93. There's been close to 40 editorial boards all up and down the state of California that have come out in strong opposition to Proposition 93. The language they used in these editorials, that this is a naked power grab, this is a transparent sham, and unfortunately that's exactly right. And so people need to vote no on 93 to make sure that these career politicians don't pull a fast one.
Steve Poizner, California's insurance commissioner, thanks for joining us today. We'll have you back maybe in a couple of weeks, Steve, and we'll talk about insurance issues.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, good to talk with you. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. You can talk about 93, about John Edwards, about the Democratic debate tonight, anything else on your mind. Grab a line now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Osama bin Laden remains at large, but the United States has scored a rare success in its war on al-Qaeda. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
Al-Qaeda's safe haven in Pakistan's tribal areas got a whole lot less safe for one of Osama bin Laden's top operators. Abu Layth al-Libi was killed earlier this week by a missile fired from an unmanned CIA drone. One of al-Qaeda's most experienced commanders, al-Libi directed operations in Afghanistan, where he was blamed for a deadly suicide attack during a visit by Vice President Cheney.
Pakistan has refused to allow American troops into the tribal region, but during a recent meeting with CIA Director Michael Hayden, sources say President Musharraf did agree to more overflights by drones. An independent commission set up by Congress says National Guard and military reserve forces would be caught flat-footed by a catastrophic terrorist attack. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
After a three-year study, this commission is telling Congress and the White House there's, quote, an appalling gap that puts us at greater risk, finding strong reluctance in the military and in civilian agencies.
To make the homeland mission have equal priority to our overseas mission.
Arnold Panaro, a defense contractor who chaired this panel, a response from Northern Command created by the military after 9/11 to defend the U.S., agrees there's a lot more to do to prepare for biological, chemical, or nuclear attack. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Just getting underway in Hollywood, a one-on-one debate between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, their final face-off before Super Tuesday. Vaughn Verver, senior political editor at CBSNews.com, says it gives Clinton a chance to show her skills.
She has a great command of facts and the arguments that she wants to make, and she's very quick at spotting a mistake her opponents make and really jumping in on there. It's also a very good opportunity for Barack Obama to sort of prove that he's, you know, belongs on that same stage, that he can go toe-to-toe with her. And I think if he accomplishes that, he probably will come out with a lot of benefit from this thing.
Republican John McCain picked up two more endorsements today, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Texas Governor Rick Perry.
This election is going to be the deciding election on whether or not we're going to choose to fight or we're going to announce our surrender. And that's the reason that I am endorsing Senator John McCain.
While McCain emphasizes the war on terrorism, Mitt Romney claims the economic high ground.
It's time to send some people to Washington who will actually get the job done for the American people.
Accusing McCain of distorting his record, Romney said it was reminiscent of the Nixon era. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is planning votes next week on the expanded economic stimulus plan favored by most Democrats and some Republicans. The White House says it wants the Senate to approve the bill passed by the House, but Reid says Democrats have spoken on how this package can be improved. The Dow up 207 points today, the Nasdaq gained 40. This is CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
So far, so good. A little inconvenience, but no big delays at northern or southern border crossings on the first day of new, more stringent ID requirements. KNX Radio's Tom Riopelle has the story.
All Americans 19 and older returning from Mexico and Canada must now prove their citizenship. This can be done with a passport or driver's license and birth certificate. This man appeared to be irritated by the new requirements.
I thought it was really nice to be able to go down there and just use driver's license, but now that we have to use our passports, just another thing we've got to worry about.
For now, there's a grace period as people are being educated on the new requirements. Next year, nearly everyone will need a passport to get back in the country. Tom Riopelle, CBS News, at the U.S.-Mexico border in San Ysidro.
In the midst of a troubled economy, burgers and beer are a major success story. Burger King reports a quarterly profit jump of 29%, helped by its new ad campaign for the Whopper, and Anheuser-Busch says profits rose 12% in the fourth quarter. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with the power of color to make sure your work stands out. Now, only at Office Depot, Xerox certified print specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, business cards, banners, flyers, and more. Hurry into Office Depot today and get your business notice. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing you the power of color to your message.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
Sir, I think I speak for the four of us when I say that we do not support your current errand.
Well, we're going to the tire store. You guys are tires.
Head to the dealership.
Well, at the tire store, you can see your buddies.
We don't associate with off-brands. Your dealer has name brands. Michelin, Continental, Goodyear.
Enough.
I don't think they carry that one.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's time for the Free Speech Zone today, 6 minutes after the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open to hear from you. You can talk about any subject, offer any viewpoint, and call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And I think you know the number. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372, also referred to as 888-5-PETER-B. And I'd love to hear from you this hour. Our lines are wide open, and if there's a comment you want to make about presidential politics, about term limits in California, any other issues that are in the air right now, feel free to give us a call. A couple of the things that I want to talk about. There's an interesting article that my former producer, Matt Renner, who is now a great writer at truthout.org, posted on the web just today. And I'd like you to take a look at it. It relates to the ongoing discussion we've been having about the efforts in the United States Senate to immunize or give amnesty to the phone companies which collaborated with the Bush administration and allowed intercepts, surveillance of our phone calls and our emails and perhaps other kinds of surveillance as well. We don't always know. And so I want to encourage you to take a look at this article, because what Matt has dug into and uncovered is that there is a nonprofit so-called progressive think tank in Washington called Third Way. And it is controlled by hedge fund managers, corporate lawyers, and business executives. And Third Way has been advising Jay Rockefeller, the wayward and wimpy chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, a Democrat from West Virginia. They've been advising him on this amnesty issue. And what Matt digs into is, you know, where they get their money. And it says here, the board themselves provide the majority of the funding for Third Way. 35% of their money comes directly from corporate donors. Now, they don't make a list of their donors public, but Matt did dig up a list of the board members, and they are all corporatists, corporate executive types. Let me see if I can find it here. Reynold Levy, a former senior officer of AT&T Government Relations. Bernie Schwartz, former chair of Loral Space and Communications. Robert Katz, oh, he's on the board of IPCS, a wireless communications company affiliated with Sprint. Then there's John Vogelstein, senior advisor and past president of Warburg Pincus, a multi-billion dollar private equity firm with major investments in the telecommunications industry. And Matt goes on to name some Democrats. 5 of the 12 Democratic senators who voted to kill the Better Bill, which was the Leahy bill out of Judiciary, are recognized by Third Way as honorary Senate chairs. Can you believe that? Honorary Senate chairs. And guess who it includes? Evan Bayh of Indiana, one of those DLC apologists who, you know, most often votes with the Republicans. Tom Carper of Delaware. Mark Pryor of Arkansas, Ken Salazar of Colorado, and Claire McCaskill of Missouri. One of the honorary chairs, Blanche Lincoln, senator from Arkansas, who I happened to hear a speech from last week in Washington, she actually voted the right way. She voted against the giveaway bill from Rockefeller and in favor of the Leahy bill from Judiciary. And this is one of the rare occasions I have to praise Blanche Lincoln, because all too often she votes with the Republicans. Here's an email I got that I want to share with you. And I ask you for your comments. And if criticism is deserved, bring it on. This is from Joe. And he writes to me, to Katrina, and to Brian. By the way, Brian Urban is here taking your calls today. Katrina is our producer, Katrina Rill. And Joe writes, please count me as one of thousands, yes, many of us love your show, who are just so sick of hearing from the media that highly educated, youthful, energetic, optimistic, forward-thinking progressives opt for Barack Obama, while lunch-pail, dim-witted, uneducated people looking for handouts bow to the Clinton altar. This could not be further from the truth. Hillary and Bill have endured years and years of criticism. They fought hard for the rights of African Americans, for equality in gender and race. They've earned our respect. Obama hasn't the experience of Hillary. He's a wonderful personality, he speaks well, and his message is highly bereft of substance. I will gladly vote for him in November, but let's cut the ridiculous characterizations of Hillary supporters. It's insulting to many, many, many people. Sincerely, a big fan of yours. Well, Joe, first of all, thank you for writing, and I understand your point. But the information that I passed along, I described very carefully as data from exit polls in the early states of caucuses and primaries. And I believe when I cited it, I talked about how this is early data. But it does show that the electorate is dividing between Obama and Clinton precisely along the lines that you described. And while you may resent that because it doesn't fit you, and I understand that, that's the way it is being explained by those who conduct the polls. And so that was information I was passing along. And if it offended you, I apologize. But that was not my point. I'm simply trying to describe what is being seen and what I see in the campaign so far. And I stand by the comments that I made. But if you want to take me on, I want to hear from you at 888-573-8372. Now, before we go to your calls, one more item. In 2003, Luce Bruce Kerr, who is a Silicon Valley attorney who has a studio in his garage, sent me a song. It's a spoof song about the increase in security at airports that was imposed on us after 9/11, much of which is laughable, ridiculous, and ineffective. And so Loose Bruce created a song called Naked Airlines. I want you to hear it, and then I'm going to tell you how reality has caught up with his fantasy.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing ban. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked, no weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines. No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy. Damn. Fly safe, fly naked.
An Eastern German travel firm said it will start taking bookings for a nudist trip from Erfurt, Germany, to the popular Baltic Sea resort of Usedom.
Naked Airlines. Well, we're all in this together and dressed in the all-together. Managed safely to arrive. It's been a long, strange trip, cause we had to strip. But hey, we're alive. Everybody fly safe, fly
the plane's 55 passengers will have to remain clothed until they board and dress before they disembark. The crew and pilots will stay dressed for security reasons.
Naked Airlines. Yeah, no one's got nothing on. Naked Airlines.
Book now. The first flight is July the 5th. To your phone calls now, it's Mike in Sacramento listening to 1240 Talk City. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Peter. I actually wanted to come back to something you were talking about yesterday.
Sure.
Which is to join you in challenging the conventional wisdom, the apparent conventional wisdom, on where Edwards, his own support and his supporters go now that he's out. I agree with you that it's sort of we can't jump to conclusions and assume that everything's going to go to Obama. As far as Edwards himself, you know, I come back to what's my favorite thing that he said in any of the debates. I can't remember which one it was, but Obama was talking about basically how he thinks he can convince the Republicans to, you know, play nice and step up and start working for the American people, which I don't buy for a second. And what Edwards said was, you know, you can't nice these people to death. And, you know, so I think it's sort of dangerous to assume that, you know, even though obviously he's not too enamored with Hillary, I don't think he's necessarily caught up in this Obama fever either, and that he's really a, you know, an apostle of Obama's at this point.
Well, Mike, I'll say a couple of things, because I think it's fascinating the way Obama has presented himself in this kind of post-partisan way. We talked with Dan Weintraub, who has the new book out about Schwarzenegger, who has attempted a similar approach. And it has worked to a great extent for Schwarzenegger. But what's interesting here is that Obama is connecting with people who aren't that connected with politics. And so there's a whole lot of new people participating. I mean, we've seen incredible crowds turning out for him, much heavier turnout, particularly in younger voters, for Obama in the early primary states. And so he does seem to be able to change the game. And I have concerns, too, about this nice guy approach. And I've criticized Pelosi and Reid for not being tough enough and not being willing to cut the funding for Iraq to force the administration to adopt their point of view. But what I think is also an interesting contrast is that Obama offers this message, which is hopeful, and with the Kennedy endorsement, I think offers an infusion of that sort of youthful enthusiasm and a sense of real change coming to the country. Now, what I think is going to be interesting, and at the risk of losing listeners who are already home, CNN has a debate that started at 5 o'clock in Los Angeles. I'm taping it. I'll watch it when I get home. But what I think will be interesting is in the coming weeks, will we see a much tougher Obama He already has gotten tougher with Hillary Clinton, and her people are pushing back, saying he's disrespectful to women, and he snubbed her in that that photo they have from the State of the Union address the other night. I think that stuff is bogus. But I think what we're seeing is that Obama offers an image of a guy who is standing firm, who is being relatively tough on his opponent, and still respectful, and still clinging to the vision of hope. So it's a very delicate balance. And over the course of now to November, if he is in fact the nominee, he's going to have to demonstrate that he can take on John McCain, the likely Republican nominee, and go toe-to-toe with him, even though Obama didn't serve in the military. And that, of course, is McCain's strongest selling point.
Yeah, and that's the moment I'm terrified of, is having those two on stage during debate and have the moderator, ask Obama something about Iraq or any foreign affairs. And I was right from the beginning to have John McCain, wrong as he is, to come back and say, excuse me, but I don't need a 46-year-old freshman senator lecturing me about, foreign affairs.
Well, it could come in the form of a trick gotcha question, like, what makes up an MRAP? They'll come up with some military acronym and try to trick Obama with
right.
it. So I think it's going to be very interesting. There are risks here. There's no doubt about it.
I think we're talking about a couple different things. There's the campaign in which you're right, Obama needs to get tougher and be ready to, fight back the Republican dirty tricks. But what my original point was that, assuming if Obama is indeed elected, mm-hmm. is he going to be able to do what it takes to get, he seems to think that because he gives a great speech, guys like John Boehner and Mitch McConnell.
Well, let me cut in because I'm short on time here, Mike. I hear you. I'm just short on time. My quick point is that the first brushback that he gets from the Republicans, if he becomes the president, I think might temper his post-partisan, rising above it all message. And that's the kind of thing I'm hoping for. I hope this is a nice, lofty campaign theme. And if it comes to governing, he'll be much tougher. I got to run to a break. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. 888-5 Peter B. Thanks for letting me commute with you this afternoon on the ride home. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue they could be. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Going to start with an accident in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Irwin Way. This is a two-car accident. It's over to the right-hand shoulder at this point, just about final clearing stages. In Watsonville, an injury accident, Hall Road at Penny Road. This is a solo spin-out. It actually went off the roadway and hit a tree on the right-hand shoulder. Hollister, Fairview Road at Shore Road, a solo spin-out, partially blocking the roadway. Driver actually had some flares in the car, so that's been put out to warn you as you come up to this accident. Again, it is Fairview at Shore Road in Hollister. Santa Cruz Mountain Skyline Boulevard. This is southbound Skyline Boulevard at Gist Road. Got an accident reported. CHP en route to check up on the details for that. Traffic, it is brought to you by Gold Bond Medicated Lotion. Don't let dry, itchy skin keep you awake at night. Get fast, soothing relief with Gold Bond Medicated Lotion. It's the moisturizing fix that medicates. Gold Bond Medicated Lotion for fast relief. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic on KRXA.
Everybody, get head into the spin. Now that he's been in for however long it's been, grin a good old grin, tuck in your second chin. Then everybody do the Clinton. Come on and slide over to the middle.
Over to the middle.
Straighten up and step line.
Up and step line.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right. Come on and take a definite position.
Definite position.
Now do a total turnabout.
Total turnabout.
Shake your finger at the media. See how good they'll be to you.
Everybody do the Clinton.
That song is from 1992. It's Roy Zimmerman and the Four Men, and it is strikingly on target. He's still wagging his finger at the media, isn't he? That's called Do the Clinton. 888-5 Peter B. Join us in the Free Speech Zone. Jen's called in from Sacramento. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Peter. Oh, I'm so dismayed. First of all, I'd like to say that if we were ever going to have promise for a Democratic president, it really was, although people didn't give the support that they needed, was with Dennis Kucinich and then with Senator Edwards. And by both of them bowing out, it's like, you know, it's really sad, because when you use the words like hope that Obama is using, hope is very passive. And I think that's the problem with the American people. We are too passive. We've been too passive with Bush and his cronies and even with our Congress, and have allowed them to just run over us, steal us blind, and then put us in the worst situation that we've ever been. And, you know, I wanted to see promise. I wanted to see something that was going to say that we had a chance, and I just don't feel it now. I'm really sad. I'm just really sad. And then the other point that I was going to make is...
Well, hold on, Jen.
Okay.
That is a brilliant analysis. I really mean that. I think that what you've identified there is the reason that Obama has been able to build the appeal he has. We do have a passive public. They care more about the accuracy of the voting on frickin' American Idol than they do about the voting in Florida or Ohio in the last two presidential elections.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, there is an element of showmanship, and I understand what you mean. The other night on Air America, Mike Gravel came on with me, and he, of course, has no chance of being the Democratic nominee, but he's been, I think, a powerful and interesting voice in this year's campaign. And he shared a fear that Obama will raise hopes and then that they will not be realized, and that people will be even more cynical in the future. Now, some of that is, you know, Mike sniping at the guy who's a front runner and has raised $160 zillion or whatever it is by now. But, you know, there's a grain of truth in that.
Right. And I agree with them. I really do. So, I mean, it's just really disheartening because this is not really what America is supposed to be about. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jen, when are we going to get you a talk show?
I'd love to have one. I don't know, but I love supporting you. I love talking to you, so keep up the good work.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. I just want to raise one other thing. If you heard Ed Schultz today, Ed was talking about it's a psychologist from the San Francisco Bay Area who wrote an op-ed piece in the San Francisco Chronicle. And Ed says that he's being falsely criticized for remarks he didn't make. But this woman psychologist was appealing to other women to fight back against what she views as the disrespect that has been shown Hillary Clinton. And I think that this is a very interesting tactic coming from the Clinton campaign. I'm going to comment more on that as we continue. And I'm welcoming your calls. I got room on the switchboard right now in the free speech zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone. I got a couple of lines available. Join me with your comments. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. That's Elvis Costello, whose driver's license says Declan McManus, but I'll go with Elvis. Never enough Elvises in your life. 888-5-PETER-B here in the free speed zone. I wanted to add to the comments I was making just before the break, and I have to say that I have great respect for the campaign machine that Hillary Clinton has built. And, of course, a lot of it was built for two presidential campaigns in the 90s and a couple of Senate races since 2000. But they are very professional. They know exactly what they're doing. And as I mentioned, when I interviewed Kiki McLean, a Clinton communications staffer, on Air America the other night, I believe that the callers were plants. One guy who was, you know, you call into a radio show, they ask you what you want to talk about. You call in here. Brian puts it up on a little instant messenger for me. And it says Joe in Brookings, Oregon is going to be next, and it we won't tip you off, but I know a little bit about what he says he wants to talk about. Well, the callers on my screen the other night when I was on Air America, two said they supported Hillary and one said he didn't. And when they got on the air, all three supported her. And what tipped me off was that they got on the line about 20 minutes before we started the segment with the Clinton spokesperson. Now, I'll leave it up to you to decide if that's underhanded, but I'll link it to the fact that we know that people in the audience of Hillary's town hall meetings were fed questions. And so I don't put it past them to control the message right down to the detail of callers to a radio talk show. It was interesting, last night, if you saw Hardball, Ed Schultz was on, along with Faye Waddleton. And there was one other person who I don't remember. But Faye Waddleton really impressed me. I've talked with her before. She is brilliant. She is a pro-choice advocate. She's an African-American woman. She's very attractive. And she's very articulate. And she was there to promote the Clinton campaign's position that Barack Obama snubbed Senator Clinton in Congress the other night, right after the State of the Union message. Obama was standing around with Ted Kennedy, who had just endorsed him that day. And Hillary, who could not be missed because she was in a bright red suit, was working through the crowd. You could see her leaning forward to shake hands with Ted Kennedy. And in this one isolated shot that's been passed around a lot over the last few days, Obama is seen with his back to Hillary Clinton. And he has explained that, hey, I was talking to Senator McCaskill. Now, I don't know what really happened there. I just know the picture. And I believe the Clinton campaign is trying to capitalize on that photograph. And there was Faye Waddleton, African-American, pro-choice, dinging Barack Obama for his disrespect of Hillary Clinton. Now, I say, hold on a minute. Greg Lucas, a great political reporter over in Sacramento, once told me, politics is a contact sport played in really nice threads. And keep in mind that women have thicker fashion shoulder pads than most male suits. And I think Hillary's got to stop acting like a victim. And I think that's the sense of this message that they're sending about this alleged snub. And even if Obama was rude to her, I think it's a silly issue to raise. It's a distraction from the real issues of the campaign. Tell me what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. And as we promised, Joe in Brookings, Oregon is up next. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, well, I was checking out the editorial page in the New York Times last week when they were endorsing Hillary and John McCain for president.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the McCain endorsement was on the bottom. The Hillary endorsement was on the top. So I guess that means, what, John McCain likes to be on the bottom and Hillary Clinton likes to be on top.
Well, wait a minute. The New York Times, first of all, would feature her because she is a senator from, guess what, New York.
Yes, yes.
And also, it was interesting to hear Mitt Romney fire back on McCain and say anybody who's been endorsed by the New York Times can't be trusted.
Yeah, well, I get so emotional when I talk about Hillary Clinton.
Don't be disrespectful of her just because she has emotions, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I believe me, I won't. Even though if I do offend any Hillary Clinton supporters out there, I actually did mean it. I think people next Tuesday should go ahead and vote for John Edwards anyway. You got this campaign finance scandal that's breaking out right now with the Clintons, with this jerk over in Uzbekistan or whatever. And who knows where this how far this Tony Resco thing is going to go with
Obama.
Barack Obama.
Yeah, they revoked his bail the other day.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, of course it's a long shot, and, you know, like a snowball's chance in hell or whatever, but, I mean, John Edwards, he's still going to be on the ballot anyway, right?
He will, but what's unclear to me, because I'm not a detailed election law expert, is whether, because he has withdrawn...
No, he suspended his campaign.
Okay, so then does that mean that he accrues delegates from votes in California? I don't know if the Democratic National Committee reads it that way.
Okay.
Because what we have here, the state will still count all the votes and report how many votes John Edwards got. What I don't know is how the state Democratic Party and the federal Democratic National Committee will tabulate those votes considering his status. And I don't know if suspending the campaign is different from dropping out.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it is. Of course, you know, the DNC is going to do whatever the DNC is going to do. Like, you know, they spit in Michigan's face, and nobody seemed to care about that. They only seem to care about it, you know, when Florida gets spit
mm-hmm.
on. But I believe I've been hearing people talking about that. If there's a brokered convention,
right,
and there's a possibility of that, you know, and there's some scandals that break out with Clinton and Obama, and there is a definite possibility of that. I believe it's more than a technicality. The convention could go to John Edwards, so I would encourage people to go ahead and vote for him. If he's on the ballot anyway, go ahead and vote for the guy.
Thanks for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, there is news that you will not find on network television or in your daily newspaper. Ladies and gentlemen, the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com, features the exclusive reporting of R.J. Shulman. R.J. joins us right now. Hello, R.J.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm looking at the PTSD site right now, and I'm suspecting that you've had a vacation in Florida recently.
Well, there's been a lot going on in Florida. As there always is. And, you know, before we get to that, I noticed that your callers have been worried about their votes and who they should vote for. And, you know, judging from Florida, Ohio, and everything else, it's just one of these things where hasn't everyone figured out that nobody's vote is going to get counted anyway. I mean, this whole thing has been scripted. And if you don't believe it, what do you think the Hollywood writers have been doing while on strike? They've been hired to script this whole thing.
RJ, are you going to tell me that the Super Bowl is fixed on Sunday?
Of course it's fixed. I mean, what isn't fixed these days?
All right, well, let's dive into the stories. First of all, John McCain comes out of the Florida primary the winner, and your report is that he has declared a 100-year program for more than Iraq.
That's right. Not only is he saying we're going to be in Iraq for 100 years, which, of course, Romney attacked by saying that was a timetable, but anyway, we're going to be, it's going to take him 100 years to learn about the economy, because he admitted he didn't know anything, but given 100 years, he would learn about the economy. He also has pledged that New Orleans, the levees are going to be fixed, but that will probably take about 100 years to do that.
And you got an exclusive quote from the president. And again, you didn't scrub the quote. You quote, "I congratulate McCain," said Bush. "If I can't be the decider for life, then it should go to a whole new generation." Like John McCain, who's not afraid to call a spade a liberal, as we all know that liberal is a four-letter word.
That's exactly what he said. You've got that right.
Boy, I'm confused, but I guess it just reflects his own confusion. All right, next story here. Florida Republican primary meltdown. Gore declared winner?
Yeah, this is a story that was not picked up by anyone and then was later, taken over by a story about McCain winning that everyone picked up. But the real story was that when they counted the votes in Florida, based on the voting machines and the chads and everything else, they found out that actually Al Gore was the winner in the Republican primary.
Holy cow. Why didn't we hear about this?
Well, what happened is the corporate media, wanted to kill the story because it would be so embarrassing that this is all anybody would be talking about, and it would get in the way of the script for who's going to become the next president.
And this ties right into the hidden message that you found in Bush's State of the Union message.
That is correct.
Go ahead and explain. That was a leading question.
Yeah. well, what Bush was saying was that he has been getting a lot of heat for being blamed for a lot of things that have been wrong. But what he said basically was, don't blame me. Al Gore was really elected president, so everything that has gone wrong, whether it be the occupation in Iraq or the economy or what's going on with the meltdown in the credit markets, it really happened on Al Gore's watch, and so it's not his fault at all.
Wow, another quote from Bush, don't blame me. Gore won in Florida but failed to take the oath of office, so I had to do it. I may have been reading My Pet Goat to those kids when 9/11 hit the two towers, but Gore was nowhere to be heard, and since he didn't bullhorn his way into hearts and minds of the American people, I had to. Wow, that's breathtaking. And RJ, have you seen the footage from China where there's been a whole meltdown in the train system, and the prime minister was out having a bullhorn moment? They had it on TV last night. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught part of it. It was very much taken from, the playbook of Rudy Giuliani. The problem here is, look at what's happened to Rudy.
I like what's happened to Rudy. Thank you, RJ. Great to talk to you.
Okay, Peter B., you have a great one.
All right, catch all the news that you can't find in the mainstream media, ptsd1.blogspot.com. Tim in Sacramento listening to KSAC. Welcome.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Okay today, you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. On my commute home, just cruising through the rain.
Great.
Hey, listen, I wanted to bring attention to the notion. You brought it up earlier about the photo, the alleged snub that occurred between Obama and Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up how silly it is.
Right.
Well, then why still talk about it? I think you're adding a log on the silly fire by even having this discussion, even opening that up to debate. Who cares?
Yeah, I hear your point. And actually, I argued with myself about whether to talk about it. But frankly, it was because of the skillful way the Clinton campaign has attempted to use this. And my hope here is to get people to think about these techniques so that when you see spokespeople, surrogates, we call them, for Hillary in the media, and you see who they are, who they appeal to, who they're talking to, and what their talking points are, I would like people to step back and look at that and say, okay, Why is this on my screen? And what are they trying to tell me? And what is the real motivation behind this? Because one of the things, Tim, that I have identified that I feel very strongly about is that the inner strategy of the Clinton campaign, is to drive up the negatives of Barack Obama. Because Hillary's negatives are the top in the game.
Right.
And, my cough is resurfacing.
That's fine. I'm nursing a cold myself, so you take your time.
So in order to beat Obama, they basically need to, you know, force people to dislike him as much as many people dislike Hillary. It is a campaign tactic, and that's what I'm trying to uncover. So I take your point, and I thank you for the call, and I'm going to cough my way into the break. All right, we'll talk more in a minute, and you can call in right now, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host, coughing away, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do have an accident in Hollister Shore Road at Lover's Lane. This is a solo spin out. It's partially blocked on the roadway. Driver did have some flares in the car, so that's out to warn you as you approach this accident. Again, though, it is partially sticking out of the roadway, Shore Road at Lover's Lane in Hollister. Carmel, Ocean Avenue at Highway 1, reports of a vehicle on fire. Fire crews are on scene, so that fire has actually been put out now. Fire department, though, they are partially blocking that right-hand lane, Ocean Avenue at Highway 1. Santa Cruz Mounds, southbound Skyline Boulevard at Gist Road. A vehicle spun out. It hit a telephone pole. The pole has actually been knocked completely down, and it is now blocking that southbound lane. So southbound Skyline Boulevard, you're blocked at Gist Road in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Traffic brought to you by Selsun Blue. New from Selsun Blue, Selsun Blue Naturals, containing a blend of vitamins, moisturizers, and botanicals to help restore your hair to its natural state. New Selsun Blue Naturals, the difference is clear. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic on KRXA.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee Topia.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men, with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're here in the free speech zone.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright.
I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
You know, I really don't like reggae. I don't know about you. I love it.
I say I don't like cricket.
To your phone calls from Elk Grove on 1240 Talk City. It's Imhotep. Welcome.
You know what? I don't like reggae either. I love reggae.
All right.
You could play it all the time on your breaks. And listen, I just wanted to say, enjoy your program. I don't know what the reluctance is for people with Obama. I mean, Obama is a very good and attractive candidate. He's overcome many obstacles. He's raised a lot of money that's independent of, like corporations.
He's taking a lot of corporate money, too. I mean,
That's true. But he's raised so much money. Just people mailing in checks, $50 here, $30.
He's raised $34 million from 170, I think, 1,000 different donors since New Hampshire. That's not corporate money, most likely.
Right.
But the war chest, the original war chest, came from trial lawyers, came from some health care interests. You cannot run for president without raising large sums of money. And I'm not trying to demonize him in particular for that, but I want to be fair that both candidates have raised a lot of money, much from the same interest groups.
No question. But what I was going to say is that, mostly everything that I observed that Clinton does is contrived and planned and well thought out. And even her acting like the victim, she's playing, the female card. I have no problem with a woman being a president, but not that woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to take that back a little bit because somebody's going to be offended by it. It's not that woman. It's this person who happens to be a woman who holds positions that I cannot support.
Well, this is why you're a radio host and I'm not. You said that much more politically correct than I would. It's not the question of a woman being president, but I think it's just the question of Hillary Clinton being the president.
There you go. Thanks for your call today. Now to Donna in Aptos, listening to KRXA.
Oh, hi, Peter B.
Hi.
I've got a question, first of all. I'd like to know if JFK's speechwriter is writing for Obama or not.
I don't think so. That was Ted Sorensen, and
too old now, or gone?
I think he may be gone, but I don't want to pronounce that without checking.
Yeah. Well, I had heard it on Air America, that's why I wondered. And I wanted to say the reason why I've already voted, and I voted for Hillary because of what they put her through in the White House. I remember her on television sitting down in front of all the senators and trying to get her health, health thing in.
Healthcare reform. Mm-hmm.
And they were just terrible to her. And the same with Helen Thomas was at the front of the briefings that Bush put on. They moved her to the back of the room. I mean, and she said they treated her terribly while she was in the White House. And she's gone through so much.
I hear what you're saying, and I respect her for the steely resolve that she showed under difficult circumstances. But I want you to find the New Yorker magazine, if you can, and read the article that compares the styles of Clinton and Obama. And in particular, what they describe about Hillary is this person who does feel she has enemies out there. And when she hunkered down over Travelgate, Whitewater, Vince Foster, Webster Hubbell, all of those little mini scandals that surfaced, in many cases, she made things worse. Remember those documents that suddenly appeared on a table in the private quarters of the White House? I mean, I can't just write that stuff off and say, she was tough when she was on TV and she held her own after Bill exposed the Lewinsky thing. I mean, that does not make her my candidate for president. My most important issue doesn't have anything to do with the 1990s. It was her vote on the war in Iraq and the way she refuses to repudiate it and to accept that she was wrong.
Well, you're correct there. She should have said, look, everybody thought those things were correct, the way everyone looked at it and everyone voted for it. I think the only one that didn't was Barbara Boxer. In Oakland.
Oh, Barbara Lee, you're right.
Barbara Lee's the only one who voted no.
Mm-hmm. Well, not in the Senate. Wait. Yeah, I think you're conflating a couple of things. Barbara Lee voted against the Patriot Act, and she also did vote against the war. But there were 30-some senators who voted against Bush's authorization that Hillary voted for. There were over 100 members of the House who voted against that. And Hillary and her people still maintain, oh, you know, if we knew then what we know now, yada, yada, yada. Well, there were plenty of members of the Senate, and we'll just name Barbara Boxer, who was smart enough to smell the rat and voted against that authorization to allow the president to go into Iraq.
And she probably read what Hillary was supposed to read, and she didn't read. I wish they'd put that stuff out in the newspapers, you know, the whole thing, so we could read some of that. I'd love to read that.
Oh, there isn't room because, you know, Brittany went into the hospital, and there's a media lockdown in Los Angeles, and we got this picture of the snub. I mean, come on. What are your priorities? Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Trigger's here. I'm going to ride off. I'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations. Catch the podcast at peterbcollins.com. My thanks to producer Katrina Rill and our great phone man, Brian Urban.
To you, keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The knives have not come out. It's substance instead of sarcasm, civility instead of sniping in the first one-on-one debate between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there and joins us live.
And Bill, so far the tone has indeed been civil. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, their first debate where they are the only two participants. It began with both candidates praising each other. Barack Obama said he has been friends with Hillary Clinton in the past and they will remain friends after the campaign. Up to this point, there has been no real arguing between the two. They have been talking about areas where they generally agree, where the differences are relatively minor, like health care, immigration reform, and driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. Live at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Obama campaign says it's raised $32 million this month, allowing it to increase staff and expand ad buys. It's now on the air in 20 of the 22 Super Tuesday states. On the Republican side, Mitt Romney blasts John McCain for claiming just before the Florida primary that Romney favored a timetable for withdrawing from Iraq.
I think this was a major mistake. Had he a question about this, he could have raised it any time between April and now. But to raise it outside of a debate, And to do it in a way with, you know, blasted out to people in Florida was something reminiscent of the Nixon era. And I don't think I want to see our party go back to that kind of campaigning.
McCain was endorsed by two governors today, California's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Rick Perry of Texas. In the war on Al-Qaeda, a success for U.S. intelligence, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports a man named Abu Laith al-Libi was killed earlier this week by a missile fired from an unmanned CIA drone over northwestern Pakistan.
One of Al-Qaeda's most experienced commanders, al-Libi directed operations in Afghanistan, where he was blamed for a deadly suicide attack during a visit by Vice President Cheney. CIA Director Hayden made a secret trip to Pakistan with an offer to send in American combat troops. President Musharraf said no, but sources say he did agree to increase use of CIA drones. 3 weeks later, al-Libi was killed. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
The economic stimulus plan is hung up in the Senate, and Republican leader Mitch McConnell demands action.
The White House and the House have done their part. Now let's do our part. Let's vote on the House-passed bill without any further
delay.
But